I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to the Functional Nerds Podcast, and I am on the tail end of a cold.
I know. I've been seeing Patrick, you know, posting all this Facebook stuff, being like, blue, blah, I'm sick, and blue, blah, 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 blue. And so, yeah, you don't sound too bad. It sounds like you got your voice back.
We're in the new open office environment, and I don't have anywhere to hide from the people who are sick now. Like, I can't go into my office. So the VP of creative development came in one day and said he wasn't feeling good. And he went home the next day, but then came back and continued working. And it just went down the line of people, like the next person next to him got sick, and then it moved on down to the next person. And then I'm just like, I was trying to avoid everybody. And like, I was refusing to shake hands with people who were coming through the office. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I even did the emergency stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that horrible tasting crap. Still got sick.
My wife takes that stuff like every morning. My wife feels like she's about to get sick every day and like drinks that stuff like every day.
I've heard good things about it, and I've taken it specifically at Worldcon and different conventions. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I don't know if it's a placebo or not, but I feel like it helps me not get sick at conventions. Mm-hmm. Like I'll have those, and I'll have bottles of water, and I'll just force myself to drink it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to work, but in this case, I just got sick. So I think I've also been run down.
Yeah, well, that'll really do a number on you if you're run down or you're not getting enough sleep, all that kind of jazz. But, you know, a few weeks ago on the podcast, we had Ian McDonald on, and my pick was that book about the microbiome, I contain multitudes, or you contain multitudes, or we contain, I forget what the name of this book is, by Ed Yong, and it's all about, you know, the bacteria in your gut and everything. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, one of the reasons why we're, you know, there's good bacteria and there's bad bacteria, and sort of in like this sanitized world we live in some ways we've done more harm to ourselves than good, because we're just like, oh, all germs are bad. It's like, no, not really. You know, there's a lot of kinds in it, and it's all contextual, you know. It's don't go full on like, oh, bacteria is great. It's like, no, there's still a lot of really bad bacteria that can get you sick and kill you and all that bad stuff. But proper balance of it and being exposed to different kinds is really what helps your immune system and all that. It's one of the reasons why, I mean, I teach in elementary school around a bunch of snotty kids. And I think that helped me not get sick for a long time, because just being around so many little kids, like not covering their nose up when they sneeze, I think that kind of helps build you up. And I've always been really good about not getting sick, but particularly since I've been doing this diet, like I don't really think I've been sick. I got a little sick about a week or two ago. I ran a fever for like a couple of hours, and the next day I was fine. It was weird. Ran a fever. I thought like, oh, I'm gonna have to call out of work tomorrow. Woke up, no fever, felt fine.
Well, I've been doing pretty good. I haven't been sick in a while. Mm-hmm. But recently I had a coworker who got promoted and became my boss. Nice. And then he quit.
Right.
And took another job, and I've had to do all of his work and my work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been and everything, you know, at the house with mom, and it's just been really, really hectic, and I haven't had a lot of time for anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been really run down, and I think that it was a perfect storm.
Yeah. Well, and I know one of the things you posted on your social media while you were run down is that you watched Iron Fist.
I did, yes.
On Netflix. You watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am, as the time we're recording this, 7 episodes in. So halfway.
Okay? Well, I'm a glutton for punishment. So,
as many people, so let's give a little bit of background and context for this. As anybody who runs in these circles probably knows, Iron Fist has gotten hammered by the critics.
Yes.
It just got destroyed. And now a lot of the pre leading up to this was the there was controversy over should they have cast an Asian actor for him, and we can get, I want to talk about all that too. So it already went in long before it even got viewed by critics as being I don't know about this one, you know. Yeah. there was kind of doubt going into it even before it got reviewed. And then, you know, Netflix does the thing where they, when they have a series, I think this is usually what they do. They release like the first six episodes to critics.
Right.
So all those reviews were written on that. And I was like, wow, that's really bad. And look, it's got a high standard to live up to. Because I think most people between Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage, I think if you like this stuff, critics really liked really all three of those shows. Mm-hmm. One more than the next, really, in a lot of ways. So it had a lot to live up to. So that's going to be, and I was sort of taking the antagonistic part of this. I'm just like, you know what? People are just jumping on this and saying it's bad for whatever reason. Everyone's letting their opinions be swayed by the critics. And I watched the first episode and I'm like, you know, that really wasn't that bad. That's how I felt after I watched the first episode. I'm like, you know, I think they're really being a little too, I automatically felt, well, this is the weakest of the four. I could tell that already. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's like, all right, but I'm like, you know, it looks the same and it's in the same universe and it's, but I will say after being seven episodes in now, in some ways it's gotten better, but I think the criticisms that I've seen pretty justified. I would say, and I don't hate it as much, but it's not nearly as strong as the other three. There are some really, I'll put it to you this way. One of my big problems with it is, we could probably just talk about a million things that are just where it doesn't hold up. But the biggest thing for me is I don't think Finn Jones is the name of the actor that is playing Danny Rand / Iron Fist. And he's just not nearly as good of a casting choice as the other people that have been cast. He doesn't really, now I don't know anything about it. I know nothing about movie making or TV making or anything else. Cause we can also put it like this. All right. Natalie Portman has won Oscars. I think everybody would say she's a great actress. She's horrible in the Star Wars movies. Is that her fault?
Is she horrible in the Star Wars movies, or were those movies horrible themselves?
Well, that's my point, though. That's my point. So it's like, I don't know much about Finn Jones. I know he was in Game of Thrones.
John, you're breaking my heart.
I don't want to destroy Finn Jones as an actor. It's like, well, maybe this material is just really weak. And because, you know, he was in Game of Thrones, Sir Loras, and I mean, he had pretty small amount of screen time. So it's pretty hard to judge just on that. And I don't know anything else that he's done. I'm sure he's done a lot of other stuff, too. But he's not nearly as likable as the other characters. In some scenes, I think he's OK. Here's where what happens, why I've decided that it's like, yeah, I don't know about this. Now, again, I may watch the last six episodes or whatever's left of this, and it may totally redeem it. Although from what you're telling me, it does not. But I'll reserve full judgment until I finish watching it. There are points where I cringe watching the show when he puts his hands in the prayer gesture and starts talking about the Buddha. He does not pull that off at all.
He doesn't.
It's I cringe. I'm just like, it's that's a bad sign when, and again, that could be the writing, that could be a lot of things, but whatever it is, that does not fly. That's my first thing.
So let's go back to the casting. Let's go back to the original controversy. So the original mm-hmm. controversy was a lot of people felt that this was an opportunity for Marvel to cast another person of color in a major character role.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is totally my opinion. I think that both Iron Fist and Luke Cage were born in the 70s in the exploitation era, right?
Yes.
And so Luke Cage was a super-powered Shaft.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what they were trying to do. You know, Marvel was trying to capitalize on the popularity amongst the African-American community of those kinds of movies that had come out at the time. The other thing that was really big in the 70s and kind of late 60s was Bruce Lee and martial arts. And so they were trying to capitalize on that with a character like Iron Fist.
Correct.
And, you know, it's the trope of the, you know, the Great White Hope, right?
Yes.
The white guy who is the chosen one who saves the other culture. So, you know, that's been the character. I'm not aware of the character ever being changed in the Marvel continuity to a different color or a different race. I know that they've done some of that with other characters like Captain America. You know, Falcon has taken over Captain America's identity, and you've had like Jane became Thor. And you've had stuff like that, and it's been great. You've had Spider-Gwen, you've had Miles Morales as Spider-Man. So they have done that in the comics. They have not traditionally done that in any of their movies or their TV shows.
Well,
other than Nick Fury.
Right, of course.
Because they went with the Ultimates version, you know, and that was based on Samuel L. Jackson. So that's why they had him play those parts. But for the most part, their characters have remained, you know, whatever they were in the comics.
Correct.
So I kind of get them going with a white guy. I do. I understand what they're doing and where they're coming from, why they did it, because they're being consistent there. Is it a miss on their part? Yes, I think it is. You know, apparently there's another character who comes in later on who's a villain, who actually is Asian and came in originally for the role of Danny Rand and instead got put in this other role. However, even what he did to me was not that great. I think Jackie Chan did Drunken Master way better than that guy did, you know, in the movies that Jackie Chan did. Mm-hmm. So that's that whole thing. Like I get why they did it. Do I agree with it? No, I think they could have done something better, you know, and the Finn guy, he reminds me of Avery Brooks in that he only has like two settings. He has calm and he has angry.
Right.
And his anger and angry totally seems forced and fake to me. And it's like a part of that character. So there's lots of different things going on here with Iron Fist. And it was just very frustrating for me. I didn't like him as an actor. I liked the actress who's playing Colleen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she did really, really well.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what, when people point to anything positive in this, everybody loves her. And I would agree with that so far. Again, only halfway through, but she does a very good job with it. And she is very likable and she is very compelling.
And she's also from Game of Thrones.
Absolutely. And Star Wars. And Force Awakens.
Yep.
Yes.
And so, you know, she's really good. And there are like the parts that she is in are the draws for the episode.
Yes.
It's like, okay, so Colleen's going to be in this for a little bit. Okay, good. So, you know, we get to see a little bit more of her and she's a strong actress and a decent character.
Mm-hmm.
However, the parallels between like Daredevil and Elektra are apparent throughout the entire series.
I was thinking it that feels when I was like watching a copy, last night.
You know, like a poor copy of that storyline in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I kept waiting for Stick to show up, you know? And I know we're kind of doing spoilers, but we're not. We're just kind of generally talking.
We may do a spoiler,
we may not, but, you know, just warn people right now.
Yeah.
I liked Rosario Dawson in it. I liked that her character's growing.
Mm-hmm.
I did not care for the family dynamic at all with the corporation and the other family. And the Meachums? I did not care for them at all. They just felt so forced and weird. You know, I didn't like any of that. I don't know. It missed on so many cylinders, right? It just misfired and didn't strike chords with me. I watched the entire thing because I want, like someone else, I just recently said this about a book. I'm like, I'm not enjoying this book that I'm reading, but I'm reading it anyway because, you know, I'm already kind of into it and I've committed myself and I want to finish it. And I felt the same way about Iron Fist. It's like I wanted to finish it so that I could get to the Defenders.
Yeah, that's the way I'm looking. I mean, I'm not, look, I'm sort of, I've, and on one level, I'm it's compelling at the same time. Like, I don't find myself being bored. Sometimes I watch a show and like, I'll bail on a show if I'm bored.
See, I did find myself being bored.
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily know if it's because it's good. Like, there's enough there that I'm interested. And I have to admit, I am a lot of the motivation to continue with it is that I've already watched everything up till this point. I'm absolutely going to watch The Defenders in this summer when it comes out. So it's like, well, this is the next chapter. It's a weak chapter, but we'll get through it and it's fine. And I feel that way too with books too, because if I make it, and this is advice that I hear all the time, that it's like, hey, if you don't like a book, like, stop reading it. And I think that's good advice. I never follow it though.
No, I
may bail on a book in the first, 10 pages or something. Like, I might read a book for 10 pages and be like, yeah, that's not for me. But if I'm like 100 pages into a book, like, I'm finishing it. Like, yeah. And that'll just be, all right, that book wasn't that great. Cause you know what? Sometimes books do get better. Like, they finish strong and you don't, the beginning maybe doesn't matter that maybe you weren't enjoying it. So because otherwise I feel like, to turn the conversation to books for a second, just like, I would probably never finish any books then. Or, I think you have to kind of, with reading, I think you have to work that muscle of having stamina and getting through it. Cause I think a lot of times people's just attention wavers when you're reading and, you have to kind of commit to a book and give it a little time. But yeah, that's the way I kind of feel about this. Getting back to what you were saying about casting an Asian actor, yes, the argument can be made that, he's a white guy in the books and the comics, and that's an important part of it. But it's like, get what I said about like all the, the hands in the prayer gesture and the Buddha stuff. I'm like, I can't help but think that if that was a good actor of Asian descent, that stuff would come off a lot better.
Right. Yeah. It reminds me of Kung Fu.
Right.
Because the Kung Fu was created by Bruce Lee and co-created by Bruce Lee. And it was supposed to be a television show for him. And they, and the network said, we can't put a Chinese guy in the role. We can't do that. No, American audiences won't watch that. And so they cast David Carradine.
Right.
And, I will say that David Carradine did a hell of a better job than Finn Jones.
Right. And the thing is too, is like, you wouldn't have even had to change the story all you would have to do is you could have just made his mom of Asian descent. Yeah, he still could have been called Danny Rand.
Yeah.
And you could have cast an actor that was Asian or half Asian of some kind. And that's it. You wouldn't even had to do anything else. It was an opportunity, I think. And I think if you found the right actor, that could have been really good. Mm-hmm. And I think, but beyond all, so I think that was an opportunity that, yeah, I think they should have taken that chance because I think it would have been better for it. Even with I've read some of the reviews because I was staying away from the reviews for a while and then I started reading them. And a lot of the problems with the story, and again, I haven't finished it yet, but some of the reviews I've read, I really agree with in terms of this. It's like, what are the motivations behind any of these? Did he even it's really unclear. So that's the thing, you find yourself, whether it's because he's not that strong of an actor, but I think the other part of it is the motivations are not clear. So you're like, why do I care about this character at all? Mm-hmm. And that's the problem is that, I'm 7 episodes in, I kind of don't care that much about him.
And there's a couple of reviews that said like 7 or 8 episodes in is when things finally start.
And maybe that, again, I'm 7 in now and I'm going to finish it. I'm not hating it, but it's like, I notice a lot of flaws. And the thing is, I expect more because you nailed it on the other 3 shows in my opinion. And look, people have their criticisms of the other shows too. And some of them, a lot of the criticisms of the other shows are that, it kind of drags on a little bit. They probably didn't need 13 episodes. Maybe 10 would have been better. There was a couple, I feel like a lot of people felt that way about Luke Cage, that, maybe it got a little bogged down towards the end. And, there's a lot of different things you could say about that, but I'm hoping it picks up. And from most of the reviews I've read of the more forgiving kind, that's what they've said. It's like, well, oh, it gets better in the second half.
Well, and here's the thing. What's your expectation from an Iron Fist television show? Like, what are you expecting? What are you expecting? Martial arts? Because that's the basis of the character, right? He's a martial Correct. Artist. So you're going to go into this show expecting martial arts. I will tell you right now, if you want a really good martial arts television show, go watch Into the Badlands.
That is
skip Iron Fist.
Yeah, it's funny because that I remember when that came out on, I think it's AMC.
Yeah, AMC.
About a year, I guess it was about a year ago.
Season 2 is now starting.
Right. So when that came out a year ago, I haven't watched it yet. That seemed to have been universally praised at mm-hmm. the time that it was coming. It's only like 6 episodes too, right? It's not even that long. So I'm like, oh, that'll be cool. I hope that comes to, you know, one of my streaming services.
It's on Netflix now.
I know. So about 3 weeks ago or something, that mm-hmm. popped up. And I'm like, ooh, great. And I was in the middle of something else. And I'm like, that'll be the next thing I watch. And I didn't start it yet because it was like I sort of finished whatever I was watching. And then it was like 2 or 3 days. And I'm like, well, Iron Fist is coming on Friday. I think I want to watch that first. And then I'll do Into the Badlands. And I knew like this was when Iron Fist was already getting slammed. So I'm just like, I'll probably regret this decision, but I'm just going to do it and I'll watch it. It'll be there next. And it's funny because Into the Badlands comes up on the, if you like Iron Fist, you'll like, so no, because I heard that's a really good martial arts show. And that brings a big point about Iron Fist, which is, and now again, I don't know creative teams that are working on the various Netflix Marvel shows. And obviously it's, I don't know if there's any overlap between the people that are involved, but I remember we had Steve Bain on the show when the first season of Daredevil came out, writer Steve Bain. And he's a guy that studies martial arts and his books are about martial arts and all that good stuff. And all three of us, we just watched the first couple of episodes of Daredevil when we had him on. And we were all raving about the martial arts on Daredevil.
The fighting, yeah.
The fighting was really good and really well done. And Steve, being a martial artist, was like, yeah, the fighting's great. So that's the thing. On Iron Fist, it's not that good. Yeah.
And that's a problem. If you have watched Daredevil season 1 or season 2, and then you go into Iron Fist, you're like, why is everything so slow?
Yeah.
Why?
So I don't.
It seems very slow.
Yeah.
You know, even the sword fighting scenes where with Colleen, she's like moving so slow and deliberate. Yeah. And I mentioned this online and someone said, well, maybe they're doing that on purpose so that we can see the action. And I'm like, why? Daredevil worked so well and it was so intense. Why would they slow everything down?
Yeah. So I don't know. I doubt it's the same fight choreography, the people in charge of it, because it's such a step down. It's such a step down. I mean, if anything, I feel like now I haven't watched it this season. I'm saving all the DC CW shows for when they go to Netflix. I haven't watched any of them this season. I've watched all the previous seasons, but I'm waiting for them to come on Netflix. But I think something like Arrow has better
fights
than I don't know what the budgets are, but I think Arrow's budget is way lower than Iron Fist's must have been, because Netflix has got pretty, you know, are pretty well funded in terms of these shows.
The Marvel shows on Netflix are ABC and Netflix.
Yeah.
And the CW shows do have a much, much, much smaller budget. That's why when Supergirl moved from CBS to CW, they got a massive budget cut and they moved to Canada. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a ton of things changed on there.
Right. And I haven't watched any of that second season.
It's been great. I mean, you can't tell. You can't tell. They've still done an excellent job.
Right. Yeah. So to me, something like the fights on Arrow with a much lower budget are much better. So I'm like, well, what? It just seems like so much went wrong with this. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was rushed. If they're like, look, we want Defenders this date and we want Iron Fist in the Defenders. And that means it's got to be out this time. I don't know. Well, but the writing, there's problems with the story and the writing. There's problems with the fighting. There's problems with some of the casting. It's like,
and
just
I'm gonna
kind of went wrong.
I'm going to give you a spoiler, John.
Okay.
You never get the costume either.
I'm okay with that. Like,
but, I mean, again, we've got the costume in Daredevil.
That's true.
You know?
Well, you got a nod in Luke Cage to his costume.
You did get his original. Yeah, that was very funny. Yep.
And let me ask you, while you mentioned the CW show, so have you been keeping up with, I don't know if you want. So I always watched them on Hulu, and they're not on Hulu anymore. When the going into this season, the CW made a deal with Netflix, and they were always on Netflix as well at the end of the season. So the deal that they made was, though, any CW show will be on Netflix. This is in the United States, at least, anyway. I'm not sure how it works everywhere else. 8 days after the season finale. So whenever the season finale is, those shows will be up 8 days later. Mm-hmm. So they're not on Hulu at all anymore. They are on the CW app. So if you have a Roku player or what have you, there's the CW app. Now, I chose not to watch them in season because the CW app is a free app, which that's great, but you did not have the option to get rid of commercials. Mm-hmm. And I got so used to watching all that stuff without commercials that I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to, because then I added Supergirl to it. That's four shows.
Right.
That's four shows every week with commercials. I was thinking, like, you know, you figure 20 minutes of commercials. I'm like, that's like an hour of commercials. Yep. And I'm like, I don't want to sit through that. I'll wait. I know it's going to be on Netflix. I'll just wait. So the question I have to ask you is this. I know they cross over still.
Yep.
When I watched them in season on Hulu the last 2 years or whatever, I always watched them. You know, now it's Supergirl Monday,
Flash
Tuesday, Arrow Wednesday, Legends Thursday.
Yep.
I always watched them in the order that they were released. Mm-hmm. Is it important to still do it that way? Do they cross over enough where...
There's only been a couple of crossovers, but... Mm-hmm. There are some things that, you're going to have to watch
fine.
In order.
That's fine. I'm okay. The reason.
I'm specifically trying not to spoil stuff for you, but if you've seen the season finale of Flash.
The season finale?
From last year?
Yes.
And you know what he did?
Yes.
Okay. That has ripples across the entire Arrowverse.
Okay.
So you have to kind of, yeah.
I'm fine with that. The reason I ask is because of that 8-day window. Legends, I guess, finishes a lot earlier than the other ones. Mm-hmm. So Legends is going to be on Netflix April 12th.
Yeah, and Legends is a little different. They do tie in, but they don't tie in, you know, kind of thing. But what's happening in Legends is a direct effect of what Flash did.
Right. Okay, that's fine. No, I ask because I kind of assumed that because that's the way I did it last year, and I felt like they gave you, like, they would reference. They'd be like, hey, man.
And they blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there's stuff that's happened. Yeah, and it's all tied to what essentially is Flashpoint.
Yeah, well, again, because, April 12th is going to be when Legends is there, but then Flash and Arrow go much longer, so they're not going to show up until at least a month or two later. So I'm like, well,
and Supergirl probably all be at the same time. Yeah.
So should I watch Legends first, or should I just, you know, and that's the other thing too, is that they don't necessarily line up. It's not like episode one, episode one. So it's like, I'm sure some nerd out there has made a list of like watching it chronologically. Well, you know, though, I can even do it by, even if you go to Wikipedia, they do put the air dates. Oh, I'm going to be such a nerd with this. That's going to be my summer, is watch catching up on all that. And I'm going to have like a list of like, no. You have to watch two episodes of Arrow and then Flash because they aired at this thing. So it's going to be, I'm going to have like a spreadsheet with how to watch this.
It's funny because I do watch all those shows and I DVR them. And it's those shows are something that my mom enjoys.
Yeah.
So we watch them together and we'll binge a couple of episodes and then I'll know that the next episode starts a crossover. And so I'll be like, okay, we're going to switch now and we're going to watch a couple episodes of Flash. And she's like, oh, okay. And then we watch a couple episodes of Flash. I'm like, okay, now we're going to go to Arrow. She's like, all right. And then we go to Arrow, you know, and we just kind of do that. And so I have to keep track of that stuff myself.
I feel like those shows are a real gateway drug for people because but there are a number of my coworkers who watch that now. Yeah. As people know, I'm a teacher, so it's 95% women that I work with who never read a comic book in their life, you know, weren't into Star Wars. Like, this is not necessarily what you would find appealing, yet whether it was a spouse talking them into it, but they're like into it. Mm-hmm. Some of them, not a lot. The big show in my school is the This Is Us show on NBC. Yeah, yeah. That's people talk about that show like they're real people in my school. If mm-hmm. you go into my lunchroom, it's like, can you believe Jack? they're passionate. I never watched that show. I know what it is, but it's that's a big one.
I have avoided that show just because I have enough emotion in my life right now.
I
don't need, you know, television drama.
Yeah. So
I need escapism.
I agree. I agree. But, you know, to wrap up the Iron Fist talk, I really wanted to be one of those people that could go on Twitter and be like, man, people just are complaining about this.
And there
this.
Are some people who did that.
Yeah, no.
And that's saying that the critics are all wrong and they love it.
Well, some of the critics being overly harsh, maybe, but look, if you're a fan of this stuff, it is very clear that this is not nearly as strong as the other ones. Mm. And there are because that's like, you know me, I mean, I'm always the half is glass full dude. Like, I'm always the one like, it was good, man. Come on, Patrick, don't be so harsh. Like, you know, I'm always the one that's kind of arguing positive, and I don't hate it, so I guess in that way I'm still being that way, but it's like there are flaws. And it's just surprising, because they did such a good job up to this point that, and look, I don't know, well, you know what, here's the takeaway, I think here's the positive takeaway that I think we can all do with this. It's art is difficult. And I think we're very spoiled, especially with television these days, because there's so much of it and so much of it is good. And I think we take for granted it's just going to be good. You know what? It's really hard to make this stuff good. Mm. It's you need the writing to be good. You need the casting to be good. You need the performances, the direction, in this case, the fight choreography. Like, it is, that stuff does not happen by accident. And is it because now does this fail because someone up top should have been like, this story is not working, we got to go back? Because maybe they felt that way. Maybe they're like, no, we got to get it out, but this is not working really, but I guess we got to push it out anyway.
You know, I know a group of writers who get together and watch Shadowhunters.
I'm familiar
because it's such a bad show. They get together and they watch it to go, okay, why was that so bad? What did they do wrong? And they kind of analyze every episode, which I think is amusing.
That was one of the ones that popped up on Hulu like in the spring last year. And I'm like, all right, I know this is like, so that's on the channel that's called Freeform, which used to be ABC Family. Yep. And I was like, all right, this is probably not going to be good, but it's based on some genre novels, and which I know are kind of more YA novels than anything else.
And then there's the whole copyright lawsuits and all that good stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, well, let me give it a shot. That was one I made it about 10 minutes into. I'm like, God, this is, you know, the other one I bailed on, like I gave that one almost a whole first episode, was the Shannara Chronicles show.
Oh yeah. God, that was horrible.
I really wanted that to be good.
Yeah.
And it was, I almost made it through the first episode. It was like, I would watch it for 10 minutes. I'm like, this isn't that good.
It was very pretty. It was, I mean,
visually, it looked good.
Visually it was stunning, but it was just so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch the whole thing, or?
I watched the entire first episode. Yeah. And I think I tried to watch like the second episode too. And I couldn't get through it.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a big, now I didn't read those books, so it's not like I had a, so this, see, you know, even me not having any emotional attachment to the books, I'm just like, this is just bad. This is
we talk occasionally about JT. JT loved those books. Those were his books when he was younger. And that show really disappointed him. He had a lot of emotional investment in it. And,
yeah.
He was not happy.
Yeah,
he gave it more than we did. He tried. He really tried.
Well, and again, that's the point, is that this is hard. It's work. Like, so when we get the good stuff, now we've had a glut of really good stuff. Like, be thankful for it, because it's not an accident. The people working on that work really hard and are very talented, and it all comes to, and that's the thing with any kind of movie or TV show, as opposed to even a novelist, although I know there's editing and all that with novels, and there's more than one person that goes into making a novel good. With a movie or a TV show, there's so many people involved. And for that to come together, it's not easy. And so we just pointed a couple of examples of like, yeah, we wanted that to be good, but it wasn't. So when the stuff is good, be thankful. And that's one of the, and we can get into it another time, because I know we're sort of coming to end of time here, but it's, you and I have both been, I've been a big Brandon Sanderson fan for a long time. And I know you just listened to a lot of, did the audiobooks of many of his books. Mm. And he has a deal now where it's a big production company that's going to be making movies and TV shows and the whole shebang. And
well, you hope. Because yeah, I mean, it reminds me of the deal that Jordan made with Red Eagle.
Okay.
And nothing has come from that except that horrible, horrible infomercial thing that they did on FX at like 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yes.
And I mean, the video games haven't happened, none of that. So, I mean, we can hope. We can hope that this is a better deal.
Yeah, because, as I am currently doing the audiobook of the last book in the Mistborn series. Mm. So I am on Hero of Ages. Did you do that one yet?
I did the first two. The first two. So I did, what's it called?
The first one is called
the Mistborn, but then it's something. Oh, the Final Empire is what the
Final Empire is number one. Well of Ascension is number two.
Yeah. I finished Well of Ascension. I also did the two Stormlight Archive books.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I read both of those as well, and I'm on the third book in Mistborn. I also read Elantris, and I also read that Elantris was a long time ago. Yeah, I'd like to reread Elantris now, just because I know it's kind of connected in his Cosmere.
And I did White Sands for Kirkus.
Yes, I read that too.
Another book. It was a graphic novel.
Right. Yeah. I read that too. And I read, what's the other one? Warbreaker. I read that
recently. I don't think I've done Warbreaker yet.
Yeah, it's good. That's kind of a standalone one.
Yeah.
What I find, to me, unless it's Netflix or HBO with something like this.
Or Stars.
Yeah, I guess Stars does a good job on that stuff too. Yeah, they're doing American Gods, and all signs are pointing that that's looking pretty good. Those books are so massive.
Oh my God. Yes. They're 45 hours on Audible.
Yeah, that's the words of
yeah,
the Stormlight ones are 45, the Mistborn ones are like 29 or 30.
Yeah, they're pretty long too.
Yeah, so there's so much in them, and there's like so much history and mythology, and essentially, even though they're fantasy novels, there's magic and superpowers, really, in a lot of ways. They're almost like superheroes, some of the characters in those books. And it's the thing I think is like, these are going to have a huge budget, to pull off. And, the first thing that I heard with the Sanderson stuff is that they're going to make a movie about the Way of Kings. I'm like, Way of Kings, the 45-hour book? They're going to try to make that into one movie?
No, like, it'll be 12.
Yeah, I'm like, that's – and first of all, I don't think that's the – like, because they – it's – the rights are for the whole Cosmere universe. Mm-hmm. So it's everything. So to me, I even think the Stormlight Archives are not the ones to start with. I think the Mistborn ones make way more sense to start with that. To me, they all should be TV shows. I don't think a movie makes sense for any of this stuff. I think it's – there's just like too much story, and there's too many characters, and there's
– Yeah, and it depends on how they approach it. I mean, if they're going to try and do like Lord of the Rings – mm-hmm. and break a single book up into multiple movies, I can see some of that working, but there's, especially with Way of Kings, there's so many characters in that and so many different storylines going through it. That's going to be really complicated. I mean, how the hell are they just going to concentrate on the slave guy and make a movie? And then are they going to do another one with Yasna Kolin? And then are they going to do another one with her uncle? And, how the heck are they going to do that?
And as much as those books sell well for fantasy novels, and he has such a hardcore following, it's not Tolkien.
No.
Tolkien's been around. So to me, to try to like throw something like that in the movies, and hope people show up. I think that works so much better from a TV series, just because, like, let's say HBO makes it, or Netflix ends up making it, or, you know, gets sold to those outlets. Well, now you have it as a show that people can sort of discover on their own, and there can be some buzz, and people can go watch it for free, you know, as opposed to like making a commitment to going to the movie. I mean, I think it just works so much better. And ultimately that may be where it goes. They haven't, it's not like they've started filming it or anything yet. That's just the first salvo that I saw. And this stuff may never get made.
Right.
That's the other point too. Yeah. There's no guarantee that it's ever going to get made. But, when I think about all this stuff, it's like, oh yeah, don't screw that up, because that, I love that stuff so much that I would hate to see a horrible version of that out.
Well, there. You have movie studios and you have television studios, and they're all looking for what they call tentpole things, that franchise things. So you have the folks at, I think it's Fox, you know, are really trying hard to use the Transformers as a tentpole, and they're going to do like a Bumblebee spinoff. Mm-hmm. And they apparently had plans to do a G.I. Joe Transformers movie, you know, try to do what they did in the comics years and years ago, and what they redone recently, you know, bringing the two franchises together. They tried it with Battleship. You know, they're trying to have these franchise things where, you know, they don't see it as one and done anymore as being profitable. They want continuing stories and continuing characters and a continuing universe. And that really comes from Marvel. Marvel has done such a great job at that everybody is now on the movie level trying to replicate that. And they're all failing, unfortunately. You know, they're doing horrible stuff. And then you look at television, and Game of Thrones has had such an impact on the television landscape that now they're trying to do more things like that. HBO is looking at the like end of life for Game of Thrones. This is the final season, if I'm not mistaken. This is the end.
Yeah.
The books are going to go on, and the books are going in different directions because the TV show went in different directions. So the books will continue. But as far as HBO is concerned, you know, season 7 is the end. And what are they going to do next? Well, they've launched Westworld. So, you know, that's one of their new kind of tentpole things that they're hoping is going to draw people in and bring them back to HBO over and over and over again. But I can't imagine that they're not looking at HBO for the next thing that's going to spark the interest of the viewers. And I know they try some different things, but Game of Thrones was such an impactful show and had such a devoted following and so many people watching it, and you know, and like they subscribe to HBO just to watch that show, and then they kill their subscription. So I can't imagine them not trying to find something very similar or something in a similar vein to do it. And fantasy, I think, is less expensive for them than science fiction.
Yeah.
Because all they have to do is find an old castle somewhere, you know, and kind of shoot some scenes and, you know, interject a dragon now and then or some magic. And I think that that's less expensive for them than trying to do something like The Expanse.
Sure. It's probably different for sure. But that's the thing that I find a little baffling. It's like you have all of these beloved fantasy series, whether it's Brandon Sanderson or Patrick Rothfuss, or go older to the Robert Jordan stuff and the Steven Erikson stuff. There's so many beloved franchises out there. Why is HBO not, you know, filming one of those now so that, you know, the minute that Game of Thrones is done, maybe they are. But the thing is, you would think that we'd be hearing about it already. You know, it's like, why? Let's use the Sanderson as an example. Why are those not filming now? Why aren't we hearing stories about updates of Mistborn being written and produced, and season one is going to be ready to go? And the minute that Game of Thrones is done, the first season of Mistborn is going to happen, or whatever.
Sometimes rights are complicated.
That's true.
And you know, just because they like a show or they like a book or something, that doesn't mean that they can turn it into a show because they don't have the rights. Now, there's been rumors, and I've seen these online, about you know, Hollywood production companies essentially taking books that they don't have the rights to and taking them all the way through development, trying to get them sold at studios, and then going out and trying to find the rights
and
buy the rights. So just because there's not an announcement doesn't mean that they're not trying to do something. They found that it's less expensive on their part to actually develop the freaking show based on a property they don't have the rights to, and then go to the rights holder and say, hey, we've developed this show and we want to buy the rights, you know, and it's a ass backwards way of doing things, but it's kind of how they're doing it. You do have things like, you know, Happ and Leonard continues at Sundance.
Right.
You know, based on those books. You have Outlander. It continues on Starz.
That's true. I forgot about that. That's one that's doing
well. You have American Gods is coming to Starz. You have the you have things like on AMC like
we mentioned Into the Badlands,
Preacher,
you know,
and you know, Preacher is on AMC. You have Outcast, I think, is on Cinemax. So you do have some of these shows based on properties that are out there, and they can only, for the most part, be done on these kind of cable networks that can do things that regular networks can't. And I think there's definitely stuff going on out there that we probably don't know about. You're right. They should be building some buzz now, and I'm shocked that they aren't building buzz about some of these things. But I can't imagine that they're not developing some of this stuff.
It's true. Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is that these things take years to put together.
And you look at the Robert Jordan stuff, and the Robert Jordan stuff was tied up in that agreement that they made with that – and I don't think it was Red Eagle. I think Red Eagle is actually Jordan's company. There was like a media company, and it may or may not be Red Eagle, but there was a media company that they made deals with to develop video games and movies and TV shows based on the Wheel of Time and Robert Jordan books. And none of that ever happened. And when the deal was up and it was going to be like all the rights were going to revert back to the Jordan estate, that's when they published that freaking Eric Roberts infomercial based on the prologue for the Wheel of Time's first book, The Eye of the World. They produced that and put it on FX at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, I remember.
In order to say, look, here, we produced something. See?
Yeah.
And so that keeps us with our rights. And I think there was like a lawsuit, and I don't know what happened there. But yeah, there's so many of these beloved books out there. I think, isn't there a revival? They're trying to do a new Interview with the Vampire.
I did hear about that. You know,
there's tons of stuff. Tons.
Well, and also, and I think the two factors to sort of wrap this conversation of the two things is that it's really only been a few years that number one, special effects have gotten to the point where even this stuff could be done. Because even though you were saying like it's a little cheaper to do fantasy, maybe or not, but like even something like Game of Thrones, even though it's not like every episode has a dragon in it the whole time, but when they do, it's very convincing looking. And that was not possible 10 years ago to do something like that, to make it look so believable.
Well,
so,
and I remember like with Buffy and other shows that like they would actually say in the DVD comments back when I was so bored that I would listen to the DVD comments that, you know, oh, we blew our special effects budget for the season on this episode.
Right.
And so they do that. Like they plan that. They know that on this episode, they're going to need to wow people with something. And that's where they put their special effects budget.
Correct.
In that episode.
So it's a combination of the maturity of computer effects and special effects and just people wanting to watch shows like this, extended stories. That's a very recent thing when you think about it. That's only been the past 3, 4, 5 years where people want to have that season long. And that's with the advent of your streaming services that people want to sit and watch 10 episodes or 15 episodes or whatever. So, you know, now that those things are viable, now you're seeing more and more of it. And now maybe we'll see some of the development of that stuff.
And it's going to get better. And when they do have to put all their special effects budget into that one episode or those two episodes, they spend the rest of the season just kind of distracting us with boobs and penises.
Well, I can't think of any way to end a conversation. Boobs and penises. Well, anyway, so before we get going, I am going to mention two things for our listeners. Thank you for listening, number one. Next, as I've mentioned on recent episodes, Patrick's got a book out. It's called Into the Fire.
And there are no boobs or penises. I'm sorry.
Not well, yeah, no, I guess not. You can't say anything anyway, but your imagination, everybody. But that book is available now. I finished it. It's great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Patrick, for writing it. And I thought it's really good. And if you, as I said in my Amazon review of the book, if you dig the Dresden File books, you'll like this book a lot. It's along the same lines, lots of good humor. And one thing, and this is not to kiss Patrick's butt, a much deeper story than I figured for. I was not expecting so much sort of backstory and in terms of like the development of the characters. I thought it was going to be, hey, it's an urban fantasy and she's solving crimes and has magic and that's cool. It's a much more than that. So first of all, good job, Patrick. I was delightfully surprised. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That character is that was clever. And it's hard to read a book by someone that, you know, because, you know, I hear Patrick every, you know, mm-hmm. every week. So it took a little bit of time to like not hear Patrick's voice, you know, coming out of this female character. That was a little weird for me at first. But, you know, once you're a couple chapters in, then you just get into the book and you forget that, you know, your friend wrote the book and it's really good. So go and get it. Into the Fire, the Sam Cain book one.
And I'll throw it out there. If our listeners do go buy the book, number one, I very much appreciate that. That helps me out a lot. If you do get the book, you know, put a review up online on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or somewhere, because that helps more than you can possibly imagine. It helps get the book higher up in the rankings. It helps get it more visibility. And it just helps overall.
Yes.
You know, and that's true of any of your favorite authors.
Right.
So, you know, any author that you enjoy and you like and you want to read more of their stuff, post on Amazon, you know, say that you love the book and write reviews, and don't write 5-star reviews, write 3- and 4-star reviews, because those help more than 5 stars. And, you know, just kind of help boost that signal and tell people about those books, because it really, really does help. And I was telling John, I got an email almost immediately – within a couple of weeks of the book being available, from someone in the UK who was like, okay, I read this book. I loved it so much that I went to go get book two and I can't find it anywhere except on your website where you say you have finished book two. Where can I buy book two now? Mm-hmm. If you want book two, you have to go on Amazon and write reviews and help boost the signal. So, and get the more books sold so that the publisher goes, yes, we want book two.
Correct. Yes. That's how this stuff works. Cause yes, some authors sign a multi-book deal. Many sign a one book deal.
I have a one book deal.
Patrick has a one book deal. So if you want to see a book two, book one's got to sell and get some positive buzz.
If
so
you want to read Samantha Cain, Cold as Ice.
Yeah. And I know some people are like, why don't you just self-publish it? That's another argument for another day. But it's like, look, I think most of us can agree that being traditionally published is, you know, a choice that I think many authors make. And considering this book, the book one is traditionally published, I'm sure Patrick wants to get book two traditionally published as well. So if you haven't bought it and you're interested, go buy it. If you read it and liked it, go write a review of it. It really does help, because that it's all the algorithms and the search engines and all that. So the more reviews and ratings that it gets, you don't got to write, you know, a 10 paragraph thing. You can write one sentence being, you know, just saying, hey, this is pretty good. I like it. You know, like literally if you wrote that, that's fine. Just, I mean, if you can write something better, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so go and do that. Also, if you're listening to this and you dig the show, first of all, if you are one of our Patreon backers, thank you. As we say every week, we really do appreciate it. It really means a lot to us. And if you're not a Patreon backer, consider becoming one. Just go to patreon.com/functionalnerds. Throw us a buck a month. It really helps. All right, Patrick, anything else for our fine listeners?
The only other thing I have is what I keep talking about. I'm teaching Scrivener at the Pikes Peak Writers Conference. If you want to learn Scrivener, you can come just to my class. It's on the Thursday. You can actually pair it with a class in the morning and get it for like $150, and that's it. It might be a little bit higher by the point that this episode goes live, but it's a half-day workshop. If you're a writer and you want to learn Scrivener and you think that Scrivener can help you, this is the class you need to come to. We're going to go in depth, and we're going to talk about how to set projects up correctly, how to import stuff, everything that you have ever wanted to know about Scrivener. I'm going to teach you in that half day workshop.
Very good. All right. So go to that workshop, everybody.
PikeSpeakWriters.com.
Yes. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.